full of tears at their feet. They just prostrate themselves before God. And the way they cry out to God, they put us to shame. They need you, they need me. And if we would give a supporting hand, God is going to bless not only them, but we are going to be blessed as well. This evening, what I just wanted to go through quickly with you is about spiritual warfare. Each one of us is involved in a spiritual warfare, a daily warfare. We all face problems, we all face difficult situations, and we wonder why and how can we come out of it? How do we fight our battles? Because Satan is not going to leave us alone. He is going to bring obstacles and difficulties in our way all the while. The Word of God says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The Lord just doesn't throw deliverance from the rooftop, but we need to work out the deliverance according to the Word of God. How do we work out our deliverance? And how do we get out of our difficult situations? How do we manage to win victories in the battles that we face every day? In Ephesians 6, 12, we read, and 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3, we know that our war is not against flesh and blood. We fight against powers and principalities. And so the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are spiritual. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4, 5, and 6, if we would read, we would find it there. So we do not fight against flesh and blood. It's not brother against brother, brother against sister, husband against wife, or parents against children, boss against the staff, but it is a spiritual warfare that we are involved in each day. We do not fight against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual powers. So what are the weapons that we need? It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are spiritual. So let's see the first weapon that we need to use in to win victory in our warfare. The first weapon that we need to use is the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the first weapon that we need to use. And in Philippians 2, 9 to 11, we read that the name of Jesus is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Every knee shall bow, including the knee of Satan. He will bow to the name of Jesus. And John 14 and 13 and 15 and 16, if you would read the name of Jesus, the Word of God says, and whatsoever we will ask the Father in the name of Jesus, he will give it to us. And 16:23 also says the same thing, that if we ask anything in the name of Jesus, we will receive it. So we need to use the name of Jesus time and again, whether we are in difficulty or whether we are in a facing a problem. The name of Jesus will dispel every problem. There was a lady who became a Christian, and because she became a Christian, the family was very unhappy because they belonged to a different faith. And so they called the witchcraft man who does the witchcraft, and they said, this lady is possessed with some spirit and she's refusing to worship our gods. So just, you know, get that spirit out of her so that she would begin to worship our gods. And so that man came with all the incense and with, you know, the different things that they used for black magic and for this getting the demon out. So she sat there and this man was going on chanting all the words that he had to with the incense just filling the room. And he said that the demon that is in her will appear on my nail. And when I see that demon appearing on my nail, then I will rebuke that demon and get her rid of that demon. And then as he was watching and chanting and watching and chanting, suddenly he screamed with a loud voice and he began to pack all his things. And then they said, "What happened? Why are you doing this? We want you to get this lady to be all right, and why are you running away?" He said, No, I can't do anything over here." They said, "What happened?" He said, "She is possessed with the Most High God." She said, "The Most High God appeared on my, the picture appeared on my nail. I can't fight against this God." And he just took everything and ran away. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus above every name. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So use the name of Jesus. That is the password for us, for the gates of heaven to open. Because when the name of Jesus is uttered from our lips, it clicks. You know, in India, we don't really understand what happens. But here in America, it's very easy for y'all to understand what happens. Because y'all are still sitting in the car, and as you approach your garage, the door begins to go up. You haven't even reached the garage, but you've just pressed some button and the door begins to open. Automatically, you are walking to a gate and the gate just begins to slide open as your footsteps near it. Just the sound, just a click. And things begin to happen. In the same way, when you and I speak the name of Jesus, the doors in heaven open and the ear of God is bent down to listen to the cry of his children. So use the name of Jesus. The second weapon that we can use in our spiritual warfare when we are facing trouble is the blood of Jesus. These are known to each one of us. It's nothing new that I'm teaching. I'm only reminding you and encouraging you that if you are discouraged and disheartened, don't be discouraged, because we are all in a battle and we have the ammunition that is enough and more than enough to defeat the enemy. The blood of Jesus, Romans 3:25 talks about when we have faith in the blood of Jesus. When you have faith in the blood of Jesus, you win victory after victory after victory, because the blood of Jesus defeats the enemy. You have Acts 20 and verse 28. It says, "You have been purchased by the very precious blood of the Lamb." So you and I were purchased. If he delivered you and me with the precious blood from our sins, will he not redeem us from the difficulties that we face? Even the verse that was given to one of the brothers from Job: "I know my Redeemer lives. Even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I know my Redeemer lives." My Redeemer lives today. If he paid the price with his precious blood, he will surely get me out of every situation. Because if Satan is afraid of anything, he is afraid of the blood of the Lamb, because that is where he was defeated, at the cross of Calvary. Romans 5:9 says that we were justified by the blood. When we are justified, Sister Pat was saying about unworthiness. She said, because we are so unworthy. I don't say we are so unworthy, we were so unworthy. But after being bought with the blood, our price tag has been changed. It has been put to the blood of the Lamb. That's the price tag. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The blood of the Creator of heaven and earth. That is my price. That is your price. You are no cheap stuff. You are an expensive variety. A rare variety. A special variety. So we have been justified. You have been justified as if you have never sinned. You were worthless. We were unworthy. But today we do not say, "I'm unworthy." I am worthy, for worthy is the Lamb that was slain for me. And that makes me worthy. So that is the blood that justifies us. And we use that blood when Satan comes against us, when he accuses us, when he pulls us down, we say, "Satan, look at the blood that is covered, with which I am covered. This is the blood of the Lamb, the Creator of heaven and earth." and I'm justified by this blood, and you cannot accuse me or abuse me of anything that my past contains. We are totally cleansed by his blood. Ephesians 1:7 says that redemption by his blood. Yes, we are redeemed, and we have redemption through the blood of the Lamb. So whatever be your situation, whatever be your problem that you are facing, claim victory in the name of Jesus through the blood of the Lamb. And say, I stand victorious. I have been redeemed, and my redemption has been paid for because my Father has sent his Son to pay the price with his own precious blood. Revelation 12:11 says that, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So it is important for you not just to have the blood of the Lamb, but you need to testify. The word of testimony should proceed from your mouth, and you should keep declaring that you are a winner. If you keep declaring you are a winner, you will win. But if you think you are not fit, you are not worthy, you cannot make it, it is useless, it will never work out, it will not work out. Because that is what you believe. As you believe, so it will be. Jesus spoke many a times when people came to him for healing. He said, may it be to you according to your faith. So make confessions according, not just the negative confessions which are going to bring you down, but the word of God that's going to help you to build up your faith. And so Revelation says that we will overcome. We will overcome with the blood and by the word of our testimony. The next weapon that we can use is faith. Matthew 9:22, he talks to the woman who was healed of 12 years of the issue of blood. He said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. He didn't say, because you touched me, you were made whole. He didn't say, because virtue went out of me, you were made whole. He didn't say, because I'm the healer and you came to me, you were made whole. He gave the total credit to that woman. And he said, woman, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Are you facing a problem? Are you facing a difficulty? Boost your faith in the Lord and say, I know my Redeemer lives. I know he is my Savior and he will help me. And when you will begin to put your trust in him, and when you will begin to confess, as that woman said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Say, if I can just call on the name of Jesus, my problems will be solved. My difficulties will go. I will be strengthened. I will be healed. And you will see the power of God descending into your life. Matthew 17:20 says that even if you have your faith as small as the grain of mustard seed, you will be able to speak to the mountain saying, go and fall into the sea, and it will happen. A grain of mustard seed, that much faith can move mountains. Matthew 20:21 and 22 says that if we ask anything, believing, we will receive it. So when you believe that you will receive what you are asking God, you will receive. But if you do not believe what you are asking, do not expect to receive anything. I am staying with the pastor, and Sharon has been ministering to me, Martha doing the cooking, giving me hot chapatis and the curries that I love. She's just serving me, and I'm enjoying every bit of it, because most of the places you get those frozen rotis, they will put it in the microwave and give it to you. But here she's making fresh rotis and giving. Now, supposing I ask her, I say, baby, will you please give me 2 rotis? And I believe that she will give it to me. And then I begin to tell the others. They'll say, auntie, you're not eating. No, Sharon is making rotis for me, Sharon. And Sharon had just thought, "Arey, I'll pick up 2 rotis from the fridge and give it to auntie. Every day I've been giving her. No, one time if I give her this roti, it's okay." But if she hears 4 or 5 times me telling all the girls and everyone over there, what about your dinner? No, she's going to make fresh rotis for me. I'm waiting for those fresh rotis. After 4 or 5 times, she'll say, I'd better not pull rotis from the fridge, because she's going and telling everyone, I'm making fresh rotis for her. I'd better make fresh rotis and give it to her. When you confess, you will receive. But if she's planning to make fresh rotis and give, and I tell her, baby, will you give me fresh rotis? And she says, yes, auntie, I will give you fresh rotis. And then I talk to Shalom and I talk to, you know, the members in the family, and I say, she told me she'll give fresh rotis, but I don't know whether she'll make or no. She may, for all you know, pull out some from the fridge and give it to me. Who knows? If she hears me doing that 4 or 5 times to different people, those who come to visit also, if I tell them, she'll say, this auntie, I told her I'll give her fresh rotis. She's telling everyone she's going to give me rotis from the fridge. I'll pull out rotis from the fridge and give it to her. Why make fresh rotis? You know, we human beings react to the confessions of those around us. Our God also reacts to the confessions that we make. So stop making negative confessions, because negative confessions have impact. I have here, yesterday I showed the ladies this, the sound energy of chanting prayers. That is the positive energy that is released when you confess something positive or when you pray. It says every religion has a set of prayers for different occasions. Each faith also has a prayer that's considered most sacred and powerful, even believed to trigger miracles. So your words can trigger miracles. Research has proved that vibrations generated by the chanting of these prayers have a powerful effect and effectively cause changes. So our chanting of prayers cause changes. And I also showed them some of these pictures. These are the crystals that were formed by speaking over the water. This book was written by a Japanese scientist who did some tests on waters. He took water in utensils, in bottles, in glass, and then he spoke words over those glasses and over that water. And then he took the water and crystallized it, and he said different words had different effect on the crystals that were formed from that. Now, what you see here is, let's do it. That's the crystal that was formed. Let's do it. It's a beautiful crystal because it talks about teamwork, it talks about love, it talks about togetherness. The next one that you see, this ugly one, it says, do it in Japanese, which is authoritative, which is exercising authority over others, pushing them down. Do it. And this was the crystal that was formed. This crystal on this side is, I am sorry in Japanese. When he said, I am sorry over the water and made the crystals, this was the crystal that was formed. Then here is the crystal which says, thank you in Japanese. When he spoke thank you in Japanese, this was the crystal. This is thank you in English. This is thank you in Chinese. This is thank you in German. Thank you in French. Thank you in Korean. And thank you in Italian. Different language releases different vibrations which had different effect on the waters. And the crystals that were formed showed different forms. So the words that we speak have effect on the atmosphere. This ugly crystal that you see, they spoke the word Satan in Japanese. So you see that big Satan, black thing that was formed. Here they spoke angel, and a beautiful crown-like crystal was formed. This is you idiot, and this crystal has no form at all. This was you fool, and this has no form at all. And this is you make me sick. And you find, if you look closely, it is like, it says, you make me sick, I will kill you. And if you watch closely, you find the shape of a gun in that crystal. I'm not talking to you from the Bible. I'm talking to you from science, who do the tests and prove it. So we'd better believe in our words and be careful what we speak, because we make our own destiny. We either make our own lives or break our own lives by the words that we speak. So we need to be very, very careful, having faith and speaking the right kind of things that we need to. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of the things that we do not see. It is a substance. It does not exist. You cannot see it. But you give it substance, saying, yes, I will receive it. And that you will find in the children. You will find if your son asks you, tells you, Dad, this birthday, I want you to buy me a blue, dark blue jeans, light blue t-shirt, a broad belt, a nice black shoes, and I want you to buy me lovely socks, you know, whatever color, he says. He goes to school and he begins to declare to all the children, students around, saying, this birthday, I'm going to have this jeans, this t-shirt, this shoes, this socks, you know, all the things, this belt. And then the father goes to drop the child off and the children are around there and they say, uncle, this time your son is going to have all these things. And the father says, how do you know? And he says, he told us. Surrounding, the children come from your neighborhood and they say, oh, uncle, this time your son is going to have this jeans, this t-shirt, this belt, this shoes, this socks. How did you know? Your son told us. The son is confessing by faith, giving substance to the things he has not seen. He's giving it substance by faith in his father. You ask that boy, have you seen those jeans? No. The t-shirt? No. Shoes? No. Do you know which shop? No. Do you know how much it's going to cost? No. Then what are you declaring? What do you have? And he'll say, I have the word of my father in my hand because my dad said he will give it to me. That is the kind of faith we need to have in our Heavenly Father. It may be that the father of that child may not be in a position to buy because he didn't get the pay or he lost something or he may not have been able to. Even if he's not able to, because everyone knows that he's going to give that to his son, he will beg, borrow, steal and buy that and give it to him to keep up his own respect. How much more our Heavenly Father, who has given us in writing the promises that he has promised to give us a blessing. So trust his word. Believe. By faith, give substance to the things you hope for. Put the substance. Confess. Say, God is going to release that into my life. Romans 1:17, we hear about Abraham who called forth into being things that are not as though they were. He didn't have Isaac at that point of time. He didn't have any children at that point of time. But he believed that God was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, think, or imagine. He had only one son and he was going to sacrifice that son. And the son is asking, Dad, we have the sticks, we have the fire, but where is the sacrifice? And he said, God will provide. He hadn't seen the ram at that point of time. But he believed that God will provide, and God did provide. God will provide every need of yours according to the riches of his glory. The next weapon is the word of God. We read in John 1:1 and 2, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and all things that were made with him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So everything that we look around and see, even these things that we see, it came out of the wood that the Lord allowed to grow on that first creation day when he allowed the light to come in, when he allowed the sun, moon and star to begin to reign in the atmosphere, when he separated the water from the sky, when he made the animals to come forth, the fishes to come forth, when he brought in the fowls of the air. When God was creating, he was speaking the word. And today also our word has creative power. When you will begin to speak word into your life, into the life of your husband, into the life of your wife, into the life of your children, into your colleagues' lives, into the lives of your neighbors, you will begin to see a transformation. You will begin to see a change. Because as we have seen, when you begin to speak words, things begin to change. When you speak Satan, you get those dark ugly crystals. But when you speak angel, you get a beautiful crystal. So you can build or break your own atmosphere and life. So use the word of God. Confess the word of God. There is a promise for every situation of ours. Search, find out, use it. Matthew 24:35 says that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not pass away. He who has promised is faithful and he will perform his word. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is quick and powerful. It is a two-edged sword that binds, that divides the bone and marrow. Jeremiah 23:29 talks about the word of God being like the fire and being like the hammer. Fire will burn out the dross. So when you speak the word of God, the dross will be removed. And a hammer, it hammers and fixes things. It puts things in its proper place. It also breaks things that are hard. So if there is someone who's hard-hearted, the hammer of God is going to break it. If they are not stable and steady, the Lord is going to put them into place. So begin to speak the word of God into your household. Then Jeremiah 1:12, it says, the Lord watches over his word to perform it. He watches over his word. So every promise that you pick up and you begin to confess it, the Lord begins to watch over that. Because the word of God says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro over all the earth to prove himself strong and powerful on behalf of those who trust him. So he wants to fulfill his word. Matthew 4:4, 7, and 11. We know that when Jesus was tempted, when he came out after the 40 days of fasting from the wilderness, when he came out and Satan confronted him and spoke to him, the three temptations that he brought forth before him, Jesus did not say, "Don't you know I'm a son of God?" He said, "Take the stone and make it bread if you are hungry and if you are the son of God." He said, "Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So Satan began to quote scriptures. Okay, then you come onto the top and you jump from here. He said he will give his angels charge over you lest you dash your foot against a stone. He said, "Yes, but it is also written that you will not test the Lord your God." Then he takes him up and he says, "I will give you all these things. You just bow down to me and all is yours." And he says, "No, the word of God says that you will bow down only to the Lord God and to no one else." Jesus used the word of God. He didn't try to prove his authority. So don't tell Satan, "Don't you know I'm a child of God? Don't you know that I'm a Christian? Don't you know my name is David, Emmanuel, Samuel?" Nothing happens with that. When you begin to quote the scriptures with authority, believing it to be and a weapon, then Satan is defeated. So if Jesus had to use it, we need to use it too. Then Isaiah 55:11, "My word will not return void unto me, but will accomplish my plans and purposes for which it has been sent." These promises have been sent to us from God. And when it comes down from God, it does us no good. This Bible is not at all effective. Please hear me completely. Don't go and quote me half. This Bible in my hand is of no effect as long as it is closed. If I take these papers and throw them in the fire, they will burn. If I throw this book and throw it into the fire, it will also burn. This is not a supernatural book. It is an ordinary book with ordinary pages, ordinary print. Are you listening to me carefully? Don't be sleeping and listen to half the thing and repeat saying, "This is what Sister Madhubala said." This book is powerless and ineffective as long as it's a closed book. It is as good as a novel. It will do neither good nor bad. It will collect dust on your shelf. But when this book is opened, and when you begin to read the book and begin to utter the words that are written in the book, then something begins to happen. Supernatural things begin to happen when the word in this book is confessed. Because when it comes down, it does nothing. That is what Isaiah 55:11 says. My word will not return void. When it comes, it does nothing. But when it returns, it does not go empty. It does not return void. But whatever is written in it is fulfilled on its way back. That's why your pastor was asking, did you read the word? Did you pray? Because when you read the word and don't have a quiet time just with, you know, very quietly reading, speak the word. Spoken word is powerful. It is, you know, when you read quietly, it is like loading your gun. But when you speak it out, it is shooting. That's how the enemy is defeated. So do loud reading of the word. Release the word into the atmosphere to change the atmosphere. It is just like a check that is given to you. When the check is given to you, it does you no good. It's just a piece of paper. But when it returns back to the bank that gave the checkbook, then it is encashed. So this is like a check that is signed and sent. As long as I keep it like a check, I don't get anything from it. It is just a small piece of paper, just a checkbook. But when I write on it and take the promise that I want, my God shall supply all my needs according to the riches of his glory. I am the Lord that healeth thee. If God be for us, who can be against us? I am more than conqueror through Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In my weakness, his strength is made perfect. In this battle, you will not have to fight. The Lord will fight on your behalf. Take your position and behold the incredible rescue operation that the Lord is going to perform. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. I will send forth my word and heal you. When we write those promises and when we speak those promises, they go back to the Heavenly Father. And on the way back, the work is done and fulfilled. Psalm 103 verse 20 says, the angels of God who excel in strength, who hearken to the voice of his word, doing the bidding of his word. So we need to speak the words for the angels to hear the word of God and to perform it. Romans 4:21 says, God has power to fulfill his promises. He is not a powerless, weak God. He is a powerful God. And if he has promised you something, he will perform it. Psalm 103 verse 20 talks about the angels hastening to do the word of God. When you will speak, the angels may or may not answer you. So when you pray, don't use your own words. Don't use long stories saying, Father, why don't you do this? You know this is happening. You know I'm struggling like this. I'm suffering like this. Lord, when will you call? Answer, when will? Don't use your own words. Just quote scriptures. Just speak the word of God and the angels will listen to the master's voice and they will begin to perform it. They will say, this is what master said. This is what the master said. Let us do it. Let us do it. It is like supposing you are coming to India and you write a letter to me or phone up and say, Madhu, we are coming to India. And I tell you, you are coming on the 4th of July, but 4th of July, I'm out of the house. But don't you worry. Satish, again, your name comes. When you're coming on 4th of July, come to Hyderabad, come to my house, Sainikpuri. I'll give you the phone number. And then I say, I'm not at home, but my servant will be at home. And I have given orders to my servant. When you come, there will be bathroom ready for you to freshen up, have a nice hot bath. There is going to be breakfast ready for you. You can have your breakfast. There's a room prepared for you to take rest. There's going to be lunch ready. There's going to be tea. And I know you will leave in the evening. There is a big packet that I have left for you. It's worth 10,000 rupees. The servant will give it to you. I speak that to you on the phone. And then I talk to my servant and I tell, my friend will come. This is the name of my friend. And breakfast has to be given. The bathroom needs to be ready. Lunch needs to be ready. Tea time needs to be ready. And this big box of 10,000 needs to be handed over carefully. The servant listens to those words. Now, when my friend knocks at the door and he says, who are you? What is your name? And he'll say, whoever I am, that doesn't matter. I want to come in. My servant will close the door on your face because you need to tell who you are. Because they are not bothered about you. They want to listen whether you are going in line with what orders the master has given. when Satish tells that, you know, I'm Satish, they'll say, oh, please, please, come in, come in. Ammagar cheppa randi mi gurinchi. Randi, randi. Immediately they will take you in. You get the food, you get the rest, you get everything. And at the end, the 10,000 boxes given to you. And then the servant will say, Ayagaru, please check it out. See, Amma told me to give it to you. I have done my duty. And then you see a pen, 2 rupees pen, which is lying on the table. You like it. And so you tell the servant, can I take this pen? And they'll say, Ammagar deen gurinchi em chepaledandi naku. They will give you the gift of 10,000 rupees without questioning, but a 2 rupee pen, they will say, my mistress didn't tell me anything about it. You phone up to Amma. If she will say yes, then I will take this pen and give it to you. So, when the angels listen to the word being spoken, they don't have to verify with God whether they should grant the request or not do it for us. Because the word of God says, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss. You don't ask according to the will of God. But if you ask anything according to the will of God, you will receive it. So the word of God is the will of God. So as long as you will be speaking the word of God in your prayer, the angels will be there to check on the work and they will perform it. But when you begin to use your own words, then they'll say, hang on there. I got to verify with the master whether he wants me to do it or no. And then I'll come back to minister to you. Are you with me? Do you get it? So use the word of God. It's a powerful weapon. Use it against Satan. Use it for God. Use it.